way, but there are many people who are walking away from Jesus. There's a term today, deconstructing our faith. It's nothing new, basically, but now today it's systematically people are teaching people, and they want it, to ultimately lead to the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. That's its goal. So, and it's hard to believe that people would actually think this way. Now, for the argument, you know, once saved, always saved, we can go down all those roads and we can deal with that. We're not going to deal with that. I personally believe that if you really meet Jesus Christ, and I'm going to emphasize really meet him, if you really give your heart to him, and it's a heart salvation, a heart transformation, not a head salvation, you'll never walk away from him. Therefore, it would be once and done if we want to say it that way. But unfortunately, there are many people that they don't have a true heart connection with Jesus. They have an intellectual understanding of him. They have an intellectual understanding of the scriptures. Therefore, it's all in their head. So over time, their own imaginations, their own thoughts, their own whatever, can talk them out of it, lead them out of it. So for those who think they are saved, think, not know. Think they're saved, they can walk away. So I believe in, you know, how, you know, once saved, always saved, or you can lose your salvation. Well, yeah, you can lose it if it's only up here. The goal is to get it from here to here. Amen. But the point being is people will walk away from it. So what we're dealing with in this passage here, again in verse 18, it's not just giving thanks and everything, but we can get there because we understand that our God does want to deliver us. Our God does want to heal with us. But going back to the salvation part of chapter 4, the rapture part of chapter 4, alive and remain, it goes into chapter 5 dealing with verse 1 where it says, but of the times and the seasons, I don't really need to explain it to you, talking about the time you and I live in. I don't need to re-preach to you what Jesus has already taught us. You understand what he said about the season, what to look for, what it's going to be like in those last days. But what he emphasizes through this entire chapter is, thank God, I give thanks in everything. I give thanks because if we go back a couple of verses, in verse 12 it says, but I beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Thank you, Jesus, that God knew that you and I were going to need somebody in our life to keep pointing us to the throne of God, to keep us on course that whether we go by way of the grave or by the blowing of the trumpet, we're going to stay on course and we're going to know that either I take my last breath or I go at the blowing of the trumpet, I'm going to heaven. Because somebody is not just going to pat me on the bottom and say it's okay to live however I want, but they're going to tell me to keep my nose in this book and help me to know that I know that I know that I know. Not an arrogance, but a confidence, because I walk with Jesus, that I've met the person of, not the image of. I walk with him, that somebody is going to help keep me on course, because God has given somebody in this life authority to speak into my life to say, hey, knock it off. What are you doing? Don't talk like that. Don't act like that. That I know that whether it's way of the grave, blowing the trumpet, I'm heaven bound. Amen. So chapter 5 is really dealing with that no matter what. In everything. Well, what is in everything? Okay, well, in everything, when we're preaching the exciting message, the healing message, and everybody's excited about it, praise God, man, that made me feel good. God's going to bless. God's going to deliver. Yes, hallelujah. But how about the message where I have to preach, knock it off? Get your thinking right. How about this one? Shut your mouth. Guard your mouth. How about judge yourself? Yeah, but I heard somebody say, I don't care what somebody said. God said, judge yourself. God said, purge yourself. God said, deliver yourself. In everything, I'm going to give thanks. I'm going to give thanks when it's the great message that makes me feel good and the message where I'm like, ooh, that hurt. The message where, well, that wasn't for me. That was for Justin. And then the message was, ooh, that one was for me. Come on. If you sit in church long enough, you're going to have all of those. Hey, you can sit in the same service and have all those same emotions, moments through an entire service. Man, praise God, hallelujah. Ooh. Was he following me around yesterday? Was he looking at my email? Was he looking at what I was looking at on the computer? No, he wasn't. He was. And thank God he put somebody in your life, somebody in my life. that would deal with us, help us, adjust us. Amen. That's the context of this chapter. Thank God in everything. When the pastor has to deal with you, when the pastor has to adjust you, when the pastor pats you on the back, when the pastor promotes you, when the pastor demotes you. See, we all love the moving forward part. How about the setting back part? Hey, it's time to sit down. You're out of order. We got to get some things straight here. We didn't throw you out, but we got to sit you down. And if you don't get this thing right, we are going to have to throw you out. Well, that's not love. Actually, yeah, it is. Because if you don't want it, we got to protect this. Amen. So in everything, give thanks. So again, thinking about November, thinking about Thanksgiving, and this, it is a month, and this is going to be the heart of what we're dealing with all this month, is just being thankful, being grateful for the things that God has done. Amen. So being in Tennessee with my pastor, and not just my pastor, but also, you know, the Evelines. Some of you know Pastor Chuck and Tammy Eveline. They're a mom and dad in the faith to us, and we're working on getting them up here to preach for us so the rest of you can get to meet them. They're just like Ken and Trudy Blunt. They're a mom and dad in the faith to us. I'm grateful, not just for my pastor and his wife, but I'm grateful for the elders I have in my life. I'm grateful for the men and women that God has placed that have a level of authority that not just they can speak, but I listen to what they have to say. You know, because a lot of people, well, yeah, but it's just a picture on the wall. Amen. So as I was thinking about that and meditating on, you know, I'm just so grateful for my pastor. I'm grateful for the elders, the moms, the dads, and the faith that I have. I was brought back to, and I was thinking about this, so I want you to go to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs 23. This may mean nothing to you, but it means everything to me. I'm grateful. I'm thankful for those that were before us. I'm thankful for those who went before us. Amen. Proverbs, what did I say, 23? 23, verse 10. Remove not the old landmarks and enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Remove not the old landmarks. We can break this down just really simple, really quick, because I want to get somewhere with all of this. Remove simply means don't take it away, don't put it away, don't turn it away, and certainly don't depart from it. Remove not. Old. I was going to be funny, but I won't do that because I don't want to get stoned at the end of service. Or attacked by anybody. Pastor dies by the hands of an old person in the church. No. But old here literally means eternal. Wow. Eternal. Remove not the eternal things. See, we think old, it's just old fashioned. It's out of date. It's out of style. Well, if that's the case, you might as well get rid of your God. He's the oldest thing that there's ever been and will ever be. His name is Ancient of Days. You know, when we say that they're older than dirt, well, God's older than that. God made the dirt. You can't get older than that. So remove not the old, the ancient, the eternal things. Then it says the landmarks. Landmarks are boundaries. Now, here in New England, if you're from New England, you understand this, you know, if you've been around, grown up around. We may not have done them ourselves, but as we drive around, we can see this. You know, and we almost plot off our lots, our land, because of it. You can see, you know, all those pioneers that came here because the ground was so rough and you know, stones and rocks that they'd have to plow it, they'd have to do all their stuff. But then they take all the rocks and they start to make boundaries and set that up. Well, we're not talking about rock boundaries. We're talking about eternal boundaries. Now, when we read this verse and we read this passage, we almost read it as if the men of old established these boundaries. But these are eternal boundaries. There's only one who can establish them. There's only one who can set them, and that's God Almighty. So these landmarks, they're boundaries. these boundaries are also, you know, they set bounds, they're limits, they're limiters. You know, you can't just do whatever you want in this kingdom and think God's going to be okay with it. Now, I know that's one of the preachings of the day. That's one of the understandings of the day. You can do whatever you want. It doesn't matter. You can't go so far because we're all going to heaven. I can't find that verse in the scriptures. The other meaning of these landmarks, it means a cord. Something that's twisted together. So I don't care. You can take a rope. You can take wire that's been twisted together. What happens when you untwist it? You almost can't put it back together. It won't function the same way it did before. God is saying you cannot remove these old landmarks. You can't touch these things. God has set them in place. God has established them. And he says, do not remove them. Right? So he tells us what not to do. And then he continues. He says, because in doing this, you just can't just tear these things apart and think that's where you're going to stay. He goes on to say, and enter not into the land or into the fields of the fatherless. Well, if you're going to enter one place, don't you have to leave another? To enter into the fields of the fatherless, that means you've got to leave the field of the Father. The Father. Not just our fathers who we look to and glean from, but we're talking about Father God. So to enter into one of these fields, God's not following you. And he says, fatherless. In John chapter 14, Jesus said, I won't leave you comfortless, King James. That word comfortless means orphan. But if you look at the Geneva Bible, which is an old Bible, it says fatherless. I won't leave you fatherless. And of course, he says, I'm going to send another. And of course, it's talking about the Word of God, keeping the Word of God, you know, guarding the Word of God. And then, of course, we understand what he's going to send others, preachers, teachers, fathers, to help keep us within the boundaries. Enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Now, the field here is to be spread out. Now, of course, I think that's an easy understanding. You know, here in New England, I mean, we got small fields. If you're from the Midwest or out in the Western areas, they don't have small fields. They got massive fields. I mean, they go for not just acres. They go for hundreds or thousands of acres. They go for miles. The same field. Well, this is why even the scriptures deal with, you know, that the way to Christ, it's narrow and few find it. It's not that they find it. It's hard for them to get in and stay in because there's always something trying to pull them out, somebody trying to pull them out, some issue trying to pull them out. But the wide road, the spread out road, well, that's easy. You know, we were just in Tennessee, you know, because of the pastor's conference. And, of course, where we were staying, we, you know, a group of us, you know, the Evelines and us, we got a place to stay. And, of course, where we're staying, it's in the Smoky Mountains. Yeah, it kind of looks like that. In fact, I think right over there is where we were. No joke. I think I'm a good driver. I don't get, you know, worried or anxiety or anything like that about, but I'm going to tell you, some of those mountain passes and the roads, I was slightly sketched out. Narrow. You can't just go flying down that path. You got to be precise. You got to be deliberate. You can't be looking around. You got to be focused. Because, I mean, it wasn't just a hairpin. It was hairpin after hairpin after hairpin. And, I mean, these roads weren't even designed for two vehicles to go side by side. I don't know what they were thinking. Beautiful scenery. Death is very easy. Did not understand why the guardrails were where the guardrails were. You'd have a guardrail where you don't need a guardrail because you can't get killed. But then the nice hairpin corner where you can drop off about, I don't know, 2,000 feet? No guardrail. Straight drop, no joke. What are you saying, Pastor? It's easy, wide open. Go as fast as you want, do whatever you want in the wide fields. But if you're going to walk this, stay in the field of the Father, it's precise, it's narrow, it's focused. Amen? There's boundaries, there's limiters for a reason, because there's life in this place. Death is easy to find in the other place, but here is life. So the field. Also, that word field means wild. Sure, we can go through a whole bunch of verses, you know, talking about, you know, and casting off all restraint. That's wild behavior. I don't need this. I can do whatever I want. I know better. I don't care what that says. I can do whatever I want. Sure, live that way if you want. God's not going to stop you. But he's saying don't do it. And, of course, fatherless means lonely. A bereaved person. Orphan, fatherless. Bereaved person. When I saw that one and I was looking at that, I'm like, bereaved person? You know, this is the part I don't understand. Of course, I don't think this way, which is why I don't understand it. I have never met a person who has come to church, met Jesus, walked with Jesus, did what the Word of God says, and then starts walking away from all of it to join the fields of the fatherless, and they're happy. They're miserable. The only thing that brings them happiness and joy is trying to bring other people in there with them, when all they have to do is just turn and go back. But for some reason, they don't ever seem to do that. Now, I have Bible verses that explain why. But when I was looking at bereaved, why? Because you lost something you can't get back. Wow. You're chasing something that you're not supposed to be chasing. You're lonely. Because in this field, you know why you're lonely? It's not because brothers and sisters didn't follow you. It's because Father God didn't follow you there. Wow. You're lonely. You're missing what you once had. Why do you think Satan hates you and I so much? He knows he can never get it back. He knows that there's no redemption for him. He hates you because you and I can be redeemed. He cannot. He had it all and gave it all up because of his pride and his arrogance. Amen? So remove not the old landmarks. Enter not into the fields of the fatherless. Fields of the fatherless. Well, go back a chapter. Chapter 22, verse 26. Verse 28 goes right along with the same thing, and it says, remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. Which thy fathers have set. Now, this fathers here is talking about those preachers of old, saints of old. Now, they've set them. Now, if you read that in the King James, it almost seems like they did this. That word set there does not mean that they established them. It means they protected them. They guarded them. They preserved them. God established these boundaries. God established these limiters. God established how our walk is supposed to be. God established the tithe, not the church. Right? God established salvation, not the church. God established how you and I are supposed to walk as believers, not the church. God established all these things for a reason, because all of these things lead to life and with us being with him for eternity. Right? The church didn't do this, God did this. God uses the church to keep us on course, to protect those boundaries. And we're not to remove those boundaries that God established. So I'm not harping on the boundaries, but I was thinking about this, being with my pastor, being with, you know, the Evelines, and just thinking about how grateful I am for those who went before us. You know what's sad about the day that you and I live in? Unless you know these names, nobody's used talking about these names. Nobody's preaching these names anymore. If you can go do this if you want. I did this last night. If you go on, you know, the internet, you know, the almighty Google, the God of this modern generation, and even a lot of churches. God, Google is Holy Spirit number two for some people. If you go on Google and you just type in modern preachers, it's amazing what will come up. Modern preachers, and it'll tell you like the most influential. But whose definition of influential? What does that mean to who and what? And I'm not picking on, but most of those preachers that they list today are heretics. Most of them are. Not all of them, but most of them. Because their influence, because they don't define what influence means. But as you read through who they are, what they are, it emphasizes how big their churches are. It emphasizes how much money that they have. Now, thankfully, in all of those lists that I came across, there's one name. They cannot have that list without Billy Graham. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus, for at least that. Yes. But most of these other names, because they're all into church growth. Right. They're all into campuses and whatever. That's their deal. But that's not the commission of Jesus Christ. the commission of Jesus Christ is go and make disciples, not build churches. The byproduct of making disciples is you'll have a church. You'll have church growth. But the purpose is, the goal is to make disciples. Because we have all these great massive churches, but they're all running around. I was making light of it, but not really. They're running around with the Nerf version of the spiritual weapons that we're supposed to have. God knows it, Satan knows it, and they know it. That's why it's easy to preach, oh, no, no, we don't do anything. There is no demon influence today. Well, yeah, because you can't stand against it. You no longer have authority over it. Because you're playing with the Nerf version of the armor of God, the word of God, the blood of Christ, because you've lost sight of, because you're not a disciple, sons of Sceva. You just met or heard. You're not walking with. So I'm not picking on, but the point being is, you won't find the names that I'm about to give you in any of these lists. But these are the fathers for our generation. Of what ministry has turned into I shouldn't say turned into. The churches like ours that were birthed 40, 50, 60 years ago that are still going today. We're here today because of these men I'm about to list. Not because the people we're celebrating today. Now, some of them are good, most are not. But as I was thinking about it, I was thinking about, you know, men like Brother Hagin, Dr. Hagin. Brother Hagin, he taught us about faith. Now, most people kind of give him, well, he's the reason for the faith message. Well, no, he's not. Jesus Christ is the reason for the faith message. God used this great man of God to remind the body of Christ what they forgot. What true biblical faith looked like. How we walk in it. How we exercise that faith. And he was faithful until the day he took his last breath and went to heaven. Now, that's not the only thing, because he was a pastor, he was a missionary, an evangelist. He did a whole bunch of things. He was a prophet. But, you know, faith is like one of those big things that he taught the body of Christ, of what true biblical faith looked like. We go before him, Smith Wigglesworth. Smith Wigglesworth. He's the oldest in this list, as far as time period goes. But he, you know, same thing. He preached, he taught, he did. But he showed us healing miracles. He showed us the working of miracles, working with God, working side by side with God. And we saw this, the testimonies, the reports, even though they tried to, the scrutinizing and criticize, they could not deny that God was working with this man. And he's got some of the coolest, strangest miracles that took place that today you and I would be arrested and thrown in jail if we did what he did in his day, but yet God proved. And that's why we still study him. Well, I should say, people like us still study him today. Everybody in these lists that I've just mentioned, they don't even refer to. In fact, they tell you, do not even talk about, don't use their names, because they're dead and gone and nobody needs to know about them. But wait a minute, these are the guys who protected the boundaries. They didn't establish the boundaries, they protected the boundaries. They kept us on where we're supposed to be within the boundaries. Dr. Summerall. Dr. Lester Summerall. Man, you want to know if you can be a bold preacher, just study his life. Just listen to his messages. I mean, this was a no-joke preacher. But yet, those who knew him, they said though he had that persona about him, just as bold and just gruff, they would also say that he was the most tender man that you'd ever meet. But he was a no-joke preacher. But it wasn't just his boldness and the authority that he walked in. He taught us and he reminded us what Jesus told us, that you'll cast out demons. He reminded the body of Christ of the authority that we have over the supernatural. He reminded us that we're not supposed to be natural beings, but supernatural Christians. Not weird and goofy, but supernatural. We're to be spiritual. Amen. Dr. Summerall. How about Dr. Oral Roberts? Dr. Roberts, you know, he was another big faith preacher, but healing. These aren't the only things that these guys operated and did, because many of them had great tent revivals and they were evangelists, but just kind of zero in on maybe one or two things that they brought to the body of Christ. Healing. He reminded us about healing. Biblical healing. That God wants you whole. Yes. spirit, soul, and body. All three parts that you can have healing and wholeness. Because today, if you listen to some people and you listen to some of these modern preachers, they'll tell you, oh no, healing's only for your spirit, man. That's it. Everything else, nope, that's not for it. No, but God said, I want you whole. Your spirit, man, yes. But we don't spend the rest of our walk trying to heal our spirit, man. Once he's revived, once he's regenerated, unless you blaspheme the Holy Spirit and kill him, he's done. He's going. We're not contending for your spirit. We're contending for the soul. We need healing in the soul. We need healing in our body to keep this thing going and continue with what God told us to do, right? He also showed us, you know, through his ministry that, wait a minute, that medicine's not bad. It's not wrong, which is why he built that, you know, the medical center. And, of course, if you've ever been out there or seen it, you know, he had those two giant hands bringing the spirit, God's healing, and medical together, showing that, listen, that God can use, but God's got to be part of. He brought a balance. Because some of these great preachers of old, they died when medicine could have helped them prolong. We're not picking on. But this is what he brought back to the body of Christ, a balance. Even the Apostle Paul in the Scriptures tells Timothy, hey, go drink a little bit of wine. He didn't say go have it to get drunk. He said, go drink it because it's going to help you with that parasite that you're dealing with, because there was an issue in the water in that season and in that period of time. He said, use it as medicine. So even the Apostle Paul was dealing with old 2,000 years ago, saying, listen, medicine's not bad, preacher. Go take it. But also believe that God's going to bring healing to you. Oral Roberts brought that back to the body of Christ. He didn't have a brand new revelation. God used him to remind the body of Christ once again what the boundaries were. Dr. Fred Price, now faith. Anybody I've ever heard that knew him personally, they all say the same thing. One of his greatest messages that he ever preached, now faith. And he preached out of it. Now faith is the substance. And he said, no matter how many times he come visit our church, it was always that same verse, now faith. He'd hit a different part of it, but it was that now faith. Dr. Price, of course, also, you know, Dr. Price taught us, showed us that, you know, you can have, if you win the battle in your mind, you can win every battle in life, because this is the battlefield. He wasn't the only one, but he was one of those preachers who showed us, reminded us, wait a minute, the warfare's up here. We got to deal with our mind. We got to renew our mind. Amen. How about Pastor John Osteen? Missions, faith. A Baptist preacher who got born again, spirit-filled, and walked in the, you know, under the anointing and by the leading of the Spirit. Amen? That it doesn't even matter. I'm just saying it this way. It doesn't matter what religious background you come from. You can get your life lined up with this. I think one of my favorite teachings or understandings with him is when he was teaching on the gifts of the Spirit. That he was teaching out of that, and he was trying to analyze, analytically present it. And as he got through it, he goes, I have no idea what I'm talking about. Imagine that for a preacher to stand up and say, I have no idea what I'm talking about. One, being humble enough to say that. But then two, I think he followed it with, I'll be back. He went home, he studied, he prayed, he got before God, got on his knees, and then he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And then came back and started preaching and was the fireball John Osteen that most of us would remember and we can still see on YouTube and whatever the case may be. But he showed us, listen, you don't have to stay under that religious denomination. And no, you can get in and walk with God. Amen. But he was a great missionary. He walked all the days of his life, or I shouldn't say all the day, most of his ministry life, his heart was only functioning at 20%. Now, that may not mean anything to you and I, but anybody who's dealt with heart issues and artery issues, and when the doctors start to say blockages and percentages, that's a death sentence. And yet even his own doctor told Dr. Barclay, he said, you know, I'm going to write a book when he finally dies, because the fact that he's still on the mission field, he's still doing everything that he does, and only 20% of his heart is working, that shows that the anointing of God can sustain a person and keep a person going despite what medical has to say. But yet this is a man that also kept the boundaries. T.L. Osborne, if you know that name. T.L. Osborne. He showed us that we're carriers of Jesus Christ. Come on, we're ambassadors for Christ. He got criticized a lot of time, but wherever he'd go, he'd say, you know, Jesus is here because T.L. Osborne is here, when before he even stepped off the plane. Now, he's not being arrogant. He's just saying, hey, I'm an ambassador for Christ. I bring him. Amen. And when I leave, he's going with me. May you receive him. But man, it just, the missions work. And they say that he was one of. They say that he beat, if that's the right terminology. He won, I'll say it this way. They say that T.L. Osborne won more souls into the kingdom than even Billy Graham. An evangelist. But showed us just to keep going, keep doing. Even, you know, and many of these, a lot of them, their wives passed before they did, and they kept preaching the gospel. They didn't quit. They didn't throw in the towel. They just kept going until their day of promotion came. Charles Capps, if you know that name. Charles Capps, I mean, one of his big things is your tongue, power of your tongue, power of confession, getting your mouth lined up with the Word of God, what you say. Billy Graham, one of the absolute true evangelists of the modern era. They say that Billy Graham, between his conferences, between his crusades, his television, his radio, that he reached somewhere around 2.2 billion people. And yeah, his programs are still, his son Franklin is still keeping that stuff going today. So his messages, even from 60 years ago, are still preaching and winning souls into the kingdom, though he's no longer here. This is a man who showed us what true evangelism looked like. Shambach, if you know that name. R.W. Shambach. They say, and you can see this right on his website, that he declared for over six decades, you don't have any trouble. All you need is faith in God. What do you mean we don't have any trouble? He wasn't saying you're not going to have issues. But I'm just going to kind of paraphrase that whole thought. A bad day as a Christian who knows that they're heaven-bound is far better than the best day a sinner can have, even though they're hell-bound. How bad is our life if we know we're going to heaven? What issues? What problems? You know, okay, so we couldn't pay that bill. Okay, we got that sickness. Okay, we broke something in our body. We broke something in our car, but we're still going to heaven. If this is as bad as it gets, it's not a bad day. Our worst day here is far better than the best day that this world has, because we know where we're going. Amen. This is but for a moment. That's forever. Amen. How about my father-in-law? What's in the pulpit gets in the pew. It's not just what we say. It's the spirit behind the person who's speaking. We'll start to get in the believer. We see this in Hosea 1, verse 9. As the priests go, so do the people, one translation says. It's not just what we're preaching. It's the spirit behind the preacher. We'll start to get in the believers who are sitting there and listening to. Wait a minute. How about, maybe we should say it this way. Whoever has your ear, it's not just what they're saying. It's the spirit behind them. So if you're chasing people who hate God, that spirit that's behind them, that's what's getting in you, and that's going to direct your life. But if you allow the preacher of God who's got the spirit of God in them, preach, teach, it doesn't matter if you get it, understand it, you just keep coming around, stick around, and you watch what God starts to do in your life. You know how I know that? Look around. There's proof in here. Amen. And there's proof in every church where God has preeminence, where God is the spirit behind the preacher and not the spirit of the world. How about Dr. Hilton Sutton? He's one of my favorite teachers when it comes to prophecy and end times. And, you know, Dr. Hilton Sutton, he was known for, you know, that he took Bible prophecy, end time stuff, and he did it, he preached it, he taught it without doom and gloom. But in fact, brought it and presented it to the body of Christ with a level of joy, victory, and we made it. We don't have to fear it. Right. Now, many of us came out of Catholicism. We were taught to stay away from that book. You'll never understand it. In fact, some said you'll go mad if you try to read it. But all it is death, fear, destruction, and we're all going to die. Kind of emphasizing what they said. But that's how they presented it to us. So we were afraid of that book. Well, we've been studying this on Thursday nights, and man, those first four chapters, five chapters, no, for the believer, there's no fear. There's victory. Amen. And why is there victory? Because we know we're walking with God. Going back to 1 Thessalonians 5, why? I don't have to fear what's coming because I know I had pastors in my life protecting the boundaries, keeping me within the boundaries, that as long as I stay in the boundaries, I don't have to fear what's coming because I know I'm good with God. I'm not perfect with God. I'm still working on it. He's still working on me. But I know I'm going to be okay because I'm still pressing forward. Amen? Thank God for it. And I was thinking about all of this. And of course, this is just a handful of preachers. But not one of these names you'll find in any of those lists online are the most influential. But what you will find, and don't be mad at me, but I'm going to knock over a couple of sacred cows right now. You will find the Joseph Princes. I'm sure he's got some great things. I've read his stuff. But most of what he preaches, he's a heretic. He presents you a gospel that you have no pardon. That you can live and do whatever you want because God's already done everything. We can take the Stephen Furtick's. Even his own people call him a heretic. Now, I don't, the heresy, yeah, he's got some heresy. He preaches a lot of error. I mean, it'll make you feel good. He's got some great message that'll make you feel good. But there's no discipleship in it. It's not us coming to church and getting beat up every service. So that's not the point. But if there's no pointing the direction to the cross and to Jesus Christ, keeping us within the boundaries that were established eternally by our God, that these men and many others protected and guarded, did not come away from, did not fall away from, and did not try to remove. Joel Osteen. This would be the one and only time I use names, because I use these names. Because it's not necessarily the people. It's what's behind them. Everything I've heard about Joel, he's a good guy, lives a clean life, so I'm not picking on him. But even he says of himself, he's not a pastor. He's a motivational speaker. There's a problem when a pastor who's been dubbed America's pastor, when you're sitting on Larry King Live, a Jewish man, and ask the question, will a Muslim be in heaven? And you sit there and you can't respond. You can go watch this yourself. I'm not picking on. But he hemmed and he hawed. Well, I don't know. It's not my place to judge. I really don't know how all this works out when it's all. I just preach on. I'm not picking on him. But we have many more like him. When the Bible is crystal clear, there's only one way to heaven. Jesus, red letter, said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No man. It didn't say religion. It said no man gets to heaven. Gets to my Father, except through me. So if you claim you're a Muslim and Allah, Muhammad, you're not going to heaven. Crystal, clear, plain and simple. Now, if they denounce their life, their gods, and say, Jesus, you are my Lord and Savior, they're going to heaven, but then they won't be a Muslim any longer. They'll be a believer in Jesus Christ. We're not picking on. But when you have people who cannot even stand and say, this is what God's word says. The sad part about that interview, the Jewish boy schooled him on what salvation really looks like. America's pastor. I'm not picking on. So, and I know I'm going to take a hit for using those names. I could go down the list and start naming a whole bunch of people. It's not who. It's what. We never had permission from heaven. We're never given permission from heaven to just say, okay, I can move the boundaries now. I can get rid of the boundaries now. No, just like these men of old that helped churches like ours get pioneered. A lot of these names right here, I have on my bookshelf in my office upstairs, my father-in-law's books from all of these men. I still have all the original prints from him. And I've got some newer ones too because they've been reprinted and whatever. But my father-in-law, this is how he built this ministry. Off of their teachings, because their teachings lined up with this teaching. Amen? These men, if you study their lives, you'll find out they were criticized, they were attacked, they were persecuted. Their own denominations ran them off. Church government said, you can't do what you're called to do because we won't let you do it because after all, we are the authority here. And he said, no, God told me to do, so I'll leave this denomination, I'll close up this church because no, God told me to do this. And these men didn't pioneer something. They protected the boundaries. They kept the boundaries. They preached the word of God. They declared the word of God. And no matter what attacks they were under, whether it be denominations, whether it was family, whether it was the media, whether it was any of those other things, they still stood the course and they dug their heels in and said, this is what the word says. This is what we're going to do. We're not changing. We're not adjusting. They held to Romans 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel. They stood by that. They didn't preach a new gospel. They preached this gospel. They stuck with this. They didn't jump to the whole Pauline epistle thing now. Well, Paul's got a new gospel. No, he doesn't. Paul preached Jesus' gospel. But we got a bunch of knuckleheads right now saying, well, no, I like this verse here because this says, well, why don't you read the rest of it? Why don't you keep it back in its context? Because Paul is referring to everything Jesus said. And Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. There is no other way. Therefore, there is no other gospel. There is no other means of salvation but the name of Jesus Christ and the blood and the work of Calvary alone. These men stood. These men continued to preach all the way to the, I want to say the blowing of the trumpet, but their graduation to heaven. They preached. They declared. They stood against culture. They stood against governments. In fact, their stand not only changed culture, it changed governments in the different places that they were sent. I'm grateful for those who went before us. I'm grateful for those who kept the boundaries. I'm grateful for those who kept the word of God the way God said the word of God was supposed to be. I'm grateful for all of those who said, no, we're not changing this just because today doesn't like it. I'm grateful for these men. And there's women in this list too. I'm grateful for these guys. How shameful would it be for us now, the body of Christ today, churches like ours that were birthed, creased, because they showed us how to stay within the boundaries. You know, all of them did the same. You know, they had, I emphasized a couple of areas in their lives. But you know, most of these were pastors, missionaries. They all preached the same gospel. They all preached the same Jesus. They all preached the same means. They all made disciples. They didn't cheat. In fact, it was Brother Hagin. I'm going to paraphrase the way he said it. But he basically said that the things of God have always cost the things of God, and they will always cost the things of God. You can't cheat your way through this kingdom. You can't bypass faith. You can't bypass his word. You can't bypass his salvation. The things of God have always cost the things of God and will always cost the things of God because our God is the same and our God changes not. Amen. Amen. But you know what also these men showed us? What I'm grateful for? Despite the fact that, you know, denominations that raised them up and, you know, ordained them, put them in positions, funded them, rejected them, despite, you know, maybe even some of their friends backing off, family members backing off, they also showed us what a true spiritual biblical backbone looks like. They showed us how to stand. They showed us how to walk. They showed us not how to take a knee and back up. They showed us how to keep marching forward. They showed us how to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They showed us how to walk no matter what was going on around them. They showed us how to keep going and persevering despite what everybody else was saying. They showed us that God is still God. God is not about to change. He's not changing. That as he did it yesterday, he'll do it today, and he's going to do it tomorrow. We just keep doing what God said to do and watch what God said he's always going to do. They showed us how to do that. They showed us how to walk in this. Today we walk in a day where we've got a whole bunch of people who have no spine. Unless it's virtual. All of these men changed the world without what we have today. They did it without the internet. They did it without social media. Some of them did it without really TV and cable networks like we have today. And if they could do it in their day, how much more should we be able to accomplish today? Amen. So I don't know about you, and I said it at the beginning. I don't know if this means anything to you. But this month, being Thanksgiving, I'm grateful. I am so grateful for men of God, women of God, who preserved, kept, guarded, and showed us. You know, in the Old Testament, you know, they'd set up little monuments all throughout the place. So when the kids came along or generations later on would come along, they'd come back and say, well, what is this all about? And somebody would say, well, this is what God did. It was never, this is what we did. This is what God did. Yeah. Those boundaries, the boundaries. Same thing. They always pointed us back to the boundaries. This is what God's doing. You want what God has? You got to do the way God said to do it. You got to stay within his boundaries and watch what God will do. Amen. Amen. So again, I don't know about you, but I'm grateful for those who went before us. I'm grateful for everything that they established, you know, on those levels, because they showed us how to preach. They showed us that we don't have to bow to. Amen. I'm grateful. I'm thankful. And also I am. And I just use the list because if you didn't pick up on this, everyone in this list, they're in heaven right now. Every one of them. They've been promoted. That's not to say that, you know, every person out there, every big church is off and wrong. No. But I want to stick with what God has. I want to stick with what God said. No offense. I don't care if it's blood or not. No offense. I don't care if it's a denomination thing or not. I'm sticking with God. Amen. Our God keeps proving his word, so why would I change now? Amen. So through this month, continue. And this was my challenge at the beginning of the month. Every day, think about something you're grateful for that God has done, God is doing. Because I was with pastors, and you know, I just got thinking about this list. I got thinking about, and there's more. I could list a whole bunch more. I could start listing a bunch of preachers right now that are still alive and preaching that I'm grateful for. I'm just grateful. I'm thankful that somebody kept the boundaries. Somebody preserved the boundaries. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, stand to your feet. Lift your hands to heaven right now. Father, I thank you and I praise you for all of these great men and women who have gone before us to preserve and protect your word, to keep the boundaries, and to keep pointing us to the eternal things that you set up. Things can change. Styles can change. We're not talking about that. Music styles can change. It's not about that. But it's about the eternal things that you've established. Those do not change. The blood of Christ, the word of God, the promises of God, the purpose of God, the means of salvation, how you set your church up. We can change the colors of the wall, the way the altar looks, but it still has to be your house. It still has to be holy. The fivefold ministry gifts, you set that up. We didn't. There's a reason for it, a purpose for it. So, Lord, we thank you for those things that you established that we continue to protect, just as those who went before us protected and guarded and kept us in those boundaries, those limiters, so we don't find ourselves in the fields of the fatherless. Lord, I thank you that even today, as we're getting closer to the holiday of Thanksgiving, Lord, I just... deal with us if we've lost that heart of gratitude. We have the different Bible verses that, you know, that deal with us about the joy of our salvation and deal with us. Well, Lord, help us even with that gratitude issue. Show us how to be thankful once again. Remind us of why we should be thankful once again. We preached it 2 weeks ago, and I believe this. If we deal with ourselves and we're grateful and we're thankful for what you're doing in your house, what you're preaching through your word, if we're thankful for that, we'll never be offended. We'll never walk off. We're going to be grateful because we know that everything you're dealing with is going to help us to grow, establish us, settle us, solidify us, and just keep us on course, that we can walk all the days of our life, not with arrogance, but with confidence, that when this is all said and done, by whichever means it comes, grave or trumpet, we're heaven bound. So Lord, I thank you for this in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I can say like the Apostle Paul said many times through the scriptures when he was writing to the different churches, Lord, I'm so grateful for this church. I'm grateful for the believers that are in this church. I'm grateful for the hearts that are in this church, because this is a church. We can all grow and get better, but this is a church that definitely has gratitude towards you and shows it. This is a church that shows honor towards you. This is a church that loves your word, loves your presence, and loves your anointing. So for that, I'm grateful that this is a church that's going to help, I believe, to climax the ages and draw more people and point more people to you, because we're going to do what these that went before us did. We're going to keep the boundaries. We're going to protect those because you've established them. In the name of Jesus, we thank you that we're not doing this on our own. We're doing this with you. Can everybody say amen? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Well, yeah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. I had to skip over my father-in-law because in my list he was further up, but I had to skip over him so I didn't have an emotional moment. But we can pick any one of these names. And you may have some other preachers that you followed over the years. Thank God for them. That's one of the things you can, you know, it's not just the message I'm preaching, teaching. You should thank God for those preachers you had in your life. Thank God for those elders. It's not just preachers. How about the elders in the house of God? Thank God that they loved you enough not to be run off by your attitude, that they put up with you because they loved you. We have a lot of reasons to be grateful and thankful. Amen. And I do believe that through this month, and I said it because I felt it very strong on that first Sunday, if we deal with ourselves, I don't know what this supernatural means, but God said it, something supernatural is going to happen. If we just keep our hearts focused and every day, just something with God, what I'm grateful for, and meditate on it all day. Amen. Doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing, you can do it at work. You know, this isn't while you're driving, Jesus take the wheel and you throw your hands up, but you can meditate and be thankful for something. How about your salvation? How about the healing miracles that you have experienced despite what you're believing for right now? How about the fact that, you know, maybe some of your loved ones you were praying for, and then all of a sudden you can see a glimmer of hope, like they're starting to get it. They may not be there yet, but they're starting to get it. You can see it. And then how about those who did get it? Amen. We got a lot of reasons to be thankful. Take something every day and just go before your God and say thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for saving me. I don't know about you, but how about thank you for loving me when I was unlovable? Thank you for saving me and have a plan of salvation when I had no reason or nobody else would have, but you did. Now, that doesn't mean much to some people, but to others, that means everything. I want to leave you with one last thing with some of these great preachers. Obviously, I wasn't around when they all went to heaven, except for one. But many of them have the report that when they went to heaven, like shortly before they went to heaven, their final prayers were not, Lord, look at everything we did. They ended their lives on this earth with prayers of repentance. That wasn't condemning themselves or beating themselves up, but their prayers were all very similar. Lord, forgive me for the things you told me to do that I never did. Lord, forgive me for those you sent me to that I never got to. Lord, forgive me for any time I fell short. These great men. I believe that's one of those great boundaries, limiters, that they showed us, even in their final breath, saying, listen, all the way to the end, it's all him, it's not us. He built this, we didn't. He did this, we didn't. We are just the vessels that he used. We can still learn a lot from these great men and women who have gone before us. Keeping that level of humbleness, even in that realm. Amen. Father, I thank you as we leave here today. Psalm 91, protection. Lord, I thank you. I know it's been prayed already before service. Anybody who needs healing, deliverance, peace in their bodies, even right now, Lord, we thank you for it. Healing is working right now. Deliverance is going to continue, and they're going to be set free from those things they need to be set free from. Lord, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you are the only means to heaven. And Lord, we thank you that we have bowed our hearts before you so we can be grateful even leaving this morning. We're heaven bound. And if there's somebody here who has not done that, it's just that simple. All they got to do is say, Lord, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. You're the only means of salvation. I bow my life to you. I'm yours. Please have me. The beautiful thing is, he'll take you. But you got to give your life to him. And you can do that even this morning. I know we're streaming right now, and you know, if somebody's streaming right now, you can do the same thing. Just say, Lord, I know I'm going to hell. I don't deserve heaven, but thank you that you paid the price. I don't have to. Thank you. I need you. I want you. Have me. It's not necessarily the words. It's what's here. But you do got to open up your mouth. That's what the Bible says, right? So if you do need that at the end of service, please come down here. There'll be altar ministers here. And just don't leave today not knowing, do you really know Jesus? They'll pray with you. They'll help you. If you need prayer for anything, come down and they'll talk to you. They'll pray with you. Amen. And in Jesus' name, we're going to have an awesome week. Can you say amen? Amen. Well, give